Well, good morning. I want to thank all of you for the love offering. We appreciate that. We appreciate serving here. And we try to have an open house. We've always tried to do that as a small token of what we can give back to you. So you're all invited tonight to come to our house. The chili will not be made with deer meat. The vegetable soup will not be made with deer meat. But we will have some deer sausage if you want to nibble on that, and some chili and vegetable soup and peanut butter sandwiches and cheese sandwiches and churro cookies and pumpkin pie. Is that enough? But anyway, from 5 to 7 tonight, we invite you to come out there. If you can only come for 5 or 10 minutes, that's great. Come out and visit with us, and we open our house to you. If you have your Bibles or smartphones, turn them on, open them up. I'm going to be a little bit all over the Bible today, but if you want to start out with Luke chapter 2, that'd be great. From our house to yours, Merry Christmas. If I forget to tell you later on, it's been pretty good, amen? Do all of you have your shopping done? How many of you do not? All right, there's a few of you just like me. And I got 3 days. But I have been looking, and I have bought some gifts, but what do you buy somebody that has everything, amen? What do you do? I mean, but it usually comes at me about midnight on the 22nd about what I should get, and I go out and get it. But today I want to talk about what's so special about Christmas. I could probably go around this room and ask you what's so special about Christmas, and all of you could give me a pretty good description about what's special for you about Christmas. And we know it's all about Christ, but what else? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we spend so much money? We give so much attention. And in my neighborhood, and I don't know about yours, but everybody competes about who can have the most decorations. It sounds a little bit... I just don't care. I mean, I like all the decorations, but I'm not in this competition. Anyone else? I'm not going to compete with one another. I just want to celebrate Christ, don't you? And the meaning of the season. I think all of you agree that the birth of Christ is worth celebrating. It's special. It's not just special once in a while. It's special every Christmas. It's actually special every year. I got to thinking, you know, we celebrate George Washington's birthday. Does anybody know when that is? I don't either, so I had to look. February the 22nd, 1732. We don't send George Washington cards to our friend, do we? Happy George Washington's birthday to you. Matter of fact, when I go to the mailbox and I wonder why I don't have mail, then I remember it's Washington's birthday. That's about the only time I think about the celebration of George Washington. And he's the father of a great nation, right? He's our father. Well, you surely remember Abraham Lincoln's birthday, don't you? Who said that? What year, Gene? 1809. Write it down. How many of you send Abraham Lincoln birthday cards to your friends and family and your neighbors? We don't do that. Matter of fact, if we didn't have Gene here, we probably would have forgot what day his birthday was. And he's probably the greatest president that ever served in this country. We could all agree on that, most of us. But we don't celebrate his birthday much. We might acknowledge the fact that it rolls around each year and the fact that he was probably the greatest president we've ever had. We don't send out cards and stuff like that. Maybe we should. Maybe we should celebrate more these guys' birthdays for what they've done for our nation. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, everybody knows that December the 25th is Christmas right now. You look at the calendar, the Jewish calendar, guess what? It's really not December 25th. We don't even know exactly when it was, but we celebrate it on December 25th, and that's fine. And we've been doing it ever since Christ was born, and it's a big deal. What amazes me is some people don't even believe in Christ. And they'll go out and buy presents, and they'll put up a tree, and they'll decorate their house to second to none, and they don't even believe that Christ was born in a manger over 2,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing to you? It's amazing to me. But with all the plays and musicals and the parties, and Roger said, all the money spent, there's too much money spent for Christmas. He's right. But Christmas is special. We know it's special because Christ, the incarnate Christ, came down from his heavenly throne to be born of a virgin. It's amazing. Over 2,000 years ago, yet not born just to live, born to die. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, remember that. We think of babies being born. We got two pretty young babies down here on the front. We think of them as being born and living a long life. Jesus was born to die. What's so special about Christmas and Christ? Let's pull out your bulletins and follow along. We'll mention five things. First of all, Jesus' identity was special. In Luke 2:11, it says, "For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The Christ child was special because he wasn't born of normal circumstances. He was born of a virgin. Not only born of a virgin, but he was born to be Savior of the world. He was God in the flesh. Isaiah 7:14, which was written almost 800 years before the time of Christ, says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Emmanuel," which means, Judy, God with us. You see, Jesus is more than just a good kid. He was more than an ambassador. He was more than just a gifted child. No, he was God in the flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but I still have trouble comprehending all that. The fact that Jesus would come down from his heavenly throne and agree to be born of a virgin. You know, all that mess you got to go through to be born, I won't go into great details. Jesus was the Savior of the world. God in the flesh. And I got to thinking about that. So he had to be a pretty good baby. Pretty good baby right here, not crying. Hasn't cried one time today. Don't you think Jesus barely, hardly ever cried? I kind of think of him like that. And I think he never had those juicy green diapers. You know what I'm talking about? Those kind? I remember I used to change a lot of diapers. I don't know if Ching's dad's listened to this, but one time he said, "I've never changed diapers and I'll never start." And I said, "David, I need you to change Zachary's diaper." He goes, "Oh, I don't do that." And I said, "Don't you love him?" And he said, "Of course I love him." I said, "Don't you love him enough to change his green diaper?" And he goes, "I'll change it." And for the very first time, David, Ching's father, changed the diaper. And I think he's been doing it ever since. But don't you think of Jesus as pretty good kid, pretty good baby? I do. And I think he probably was. We don't know for sure, but I think he was probably a pretty good kid. But Luke 2:52 actually tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. He was a good kid. Raise your hand if you believe that. I believe he's a good kid from beginning to end. How many of you were good kids growing up? Be honest with me. Man, he raised his hand up real quick. And all you ladies sitting next to him were saying, no. Tim raised his hand back there. Just to be honest with you, my dad wore me out. He's not here to say amen, but he just wore me out. Sometimes I was a good kid, and sometimes I just wasn't. And every spanking I got, guess what? I probably deserved every one of them. Amen to that. All throughout Scripture, we are told that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. God in the flesh. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Word was God, and the Word was God." In verse 14, it says, "That Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." In Matthew 16:13-17, Jesus asked His 12 closest friends, 11 of them anyway, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ became man in flesh, God in flesh. And he made his dwelling among us. He was born of woman, born of flesh, died a martyr's death for you and for me. Yet 3 days later, he was raised from the dead again. He is the Savior of the world. Can I get an amen to that? That's special to us. Secondly, not only was Jesus' identity special, but Jesus' conception was special. Isaiah 7:14 mentions that Jesus, the Savior of the world, will be conceived of a virgin. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd say that's pretty special. No child before or no child ever to be will be conceived of a virgin. It seems unbelievable. But when you remember the words of Luke 1:30-37, it says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever and ever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One is to be born, and he will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Friends, I want you to know that nothing truly is impossible with God. He can do whatever he wants to do. And if God wants his only begotten son to be conceived of a virgin and born of a virgin, all he's got to say is done. This past week, I preached a funeral of a dear friend of mine from Clay City, Illinois, who is 78 years old, climbed up a grain bin, got down inside the grain bin. His son didn't know where he's at. His brother didn't know where he's at. You know, you've been around grain bins. Sometimes they get cavities. You get down in there and they cave in. And when your arms go down, you can't get out. You're done. His son climbed in the grain bin. He could see his hands, and that was it. On the way to the cemetery, after the funeral was already over, I got to talking to the undertaker about funerals that have viewings, casket, the whole nine yards. And then those that choose not to, they choose to be cremated. And I told the director, I said, "It's amazing how many people talk to me about a funeral viewing or funeral creation." And some directors will even say, it's sick. I mean, it's almost ungodly to have a cremation. Not this one. He was a believer. And we talked about it. I talked about that just the other day with someone who's thinking about being cremated. And they said, "My loved ones told me don't do it. It's wrong." I said, "It's not wrong. If God can create man out of the dust of the earth, don't you think God can bring back ashes from a urn? God can do whatever he wants, amen? And it doesn't matter whether you have a viewing at your casket or whether you're cremated. When Christ parts the sky and when the second coming of Christ, when he comes back, those ashes will become flesh, amen? He can do whatever he wants to do. He's God. And when he said, "You'll be born of a virgin," that's going to happen because he said it and it was so. God can do whatever he wants. And if God wanted his only begotten son to be conceived and born of a virgin, bam, it was done. And if you can believe in the very verse in the Bible, "In the beginning God creates the heaven and the earth," you can believe everything else there is that comes after it. And if you don't believe, I pity you. Thirdly, not only was Jesus' conception special, but Jesus' birth was also special. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." I love that verse. It just tells us how special he was. Paul said in Philippians 2:6-11, "Being in the very nature God, he did not consider equality with him," God, "something to be grasped. So he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made, being born in human likeness, being found in the appearance of man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, since he was so obedient, God exalted him to the highest place," right next to him, "and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ. To glory God the Father." All those people walking around strutting their stuff, sticking their chest out, saying, "I don't believe in God. There's no God. There's no virgin birth. There's no man, no Savior that died on the cross and 3 days later rose from the dead. My science teacher says it ain't true." Well, I think your science teacher's nuts. Because I want you to know God can do whatever He wants to do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God allowed His Son to be born of a virgin, to die on a cross and raised 3 days from later. 3 days later, I want you to know today He's on the throne right now, looking down on us, waiting for God to say, "Go." Waiting. Do you know what I think of the people that say there's no God? The people that shrug out their chest and say, "Hey, I'm an atheist. I'm proud of it." On Judgment Day, they are what I call the oops people. Because they're going to stand before God and they're going to look at the nail-scarred hands that Jesus shows them and they're going to say, "Oops." But in reality, they're going to say this: "My Lord and my God." And you know what He's going to say? "Too late." You can't stand before God someday and start believing that God is who He says He was. You better believe today. Today is salvation. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things, the despiteful things of this world, even the things that are not, to bring about things that are, so that no human being can boast in the presence of God." And in all reality, what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here in this text is, no matter how smart you are, no matter how learned you are, no matter how much education, no matter how many credentials you have behind your name, here's the deal. We're really kind of dumb. Look over at your neighbor and say, "You're really kind of dumb." All right, that's enough. You know, if I were writing the story, it'd be something like this. Joseph, a very noble and sophisticated man, was pledged to be Mary, a very noble and sophisticated woman, and they traveled not to Bethlehem but to Jerusalem, escorted by a caravan of nobles to a 5-star hotel. And physicians were waiting on their arrival, with epidural, of course, to bring forth this beautiful boy. And he went on to live a very noble and sophisticated life. Everybody liked him. He had no enemies. He lived a perfect life. And then he just ascended into heaven. He didn't die. Wouldn't you write the script like that? That's not the way it went. Jesus Christ was born to die for you and for me. That was His purpose of coming. Sometimes we forget, in the midst of all the Christmas parties, the festivities, and the unwrapping of presents, that Jesus Christ came to be born of a virgin, but He also came to die. That's the main reason for the season. And we need to remember that. Fourth, not only was Jesus' birth special, Jesus' publicity was also special. Luke 2:8-4, pay attention. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." I think we have these plays, we have one little beam of light. I don't think that's the way it was. I'm thinking this great big light shone forth His glory, and it says they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whose favor rests on Him.'" I think a lot of times we think of a manger, you know, they took it out and they cleaned it and they sanitized it. No, there would have been manure and dung all over the place, and the manger would have had cows slobber all over it. You know, you've seen mangers. That's the way it would have been. I could see Joseph wiping out the manger with his sleeve, laying his cloak down there and putting Jesus down in the manger. Can you imagine the angelic accompany of that great welcoming of Christ, our Lord and Savior? Can you imagine something like that happening in Lawrenceville, Illinois, population 4,200? People would come all over the world to witness a Savior being born. I don't know, Gaslight Motel might be a little bit like the manger, I don't know. Okay, let's have him born here in the church, okay? That population from 4,200 people would probably be 420,000 people that would come to Lawrenceville. And you people that have invested in real estate and houses and stuff like that, you would become an instant millionaire overnight if Jesus were to be born in Lawrenceville, Illinois. But that's kind of the way it was in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was nothing compared to Jerusalem and Rome and all these other places. It was nothing, but God made it something. Amen. Micah 5:2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient of times." Bethlehem was nothing, but God made it something, because it wasn't because of some great happening of a great building and a great scene and a great bed. No, it was because of a great Savior. If you visit the Holy Land today, wouldn't you want to go to Bethlehem? And if you're really going to celebrate Christmas on December 25th, wouldn't you want to celebrate it in Bethlehem? Anyone? Wouldn't it be awesome to celebrate Christmas in Bethlehem? And what wasn't then is now because of something great that happened. Jesus' publicity was special. And then fifth and finally, Jesus' purpose was also special. Luke 2:11 says, "Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you." For what? For what reason? Because we're all a bunch of sinners in need of a Savior. I want you to lean over your neighbor one more time, and I want you to say this. Friend, you're not all that. You're a sinner. And you husbands and wives, be very careful about what text you say that to your wives or husbands. Friends, I want you to remember that Jesus' sole purpose for coming to earth was to die. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." And it's with a little bit of laughter that we look back on the law, and we look back on what happened in the Old Testament, where they brought their bulls and their lambs to the altar, and these priests could have sacrificed an animal in their sleep. Thousands and thousands were offered on the altar. I want you to know it wasn't good enough. They were to bring an unblemished lamb. Can I tell you today, there's only one unblemished lamb. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And without His shedding, we would not be here this morning. Without His shedding of blood, we would not have forgiveness of sin. Without Jesus Christ dying on the cross, I don't care how good you are, you could not go to heaven. It could not happen. It took His sacrifice. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than he that laid down his life for his friends." And I don't know about you, but I don't think I have any friends that would have died for me for no reason. And they definitely wouldn't die for me because I was a sinner. But that's exactly what Jesus did for us. If you're here this morning and Christmas hasn't been going that great lately, and you're here this morning and even though you're in the midst of people, you still feel lonely. You ever feel like that before? I want you to know Jesus Christ is your friend. And even though the rest of the world may turn against you, Jesus never will. And no matter what you've done in your life, no matter how low you stoop in your life, I want you to know Jesus Christ is your friend. Jesus Christ still died for you. And if He had to do it all over again, guess what? He would still die for you. Isaiah 53:6 reminds us, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him," laid on Christ, "the iniquity of us all." Jesus knew, get this, this is incomprehensible for us. Jesus knew from the beginning of creation that he was going to have to die. That's amazing. He knew that you and I would mess up. He knew that it would take a special sacrifice, the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin. He knew that from the very beginning. And he died anyway. Jesus came into this world to die. That was his destiny. That was his purpose. Say it with me today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Why is Christmas and Christ so special? Because Jesus came to be born, and he came to die for me and for you. As we come to our time of invitation, I can't think of a better Christmas present than for somebody to come down here today and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God. We'd be more than happy to take your confession. I think Stuart has the baptistry ready if you want to get baptized. We'd love that. Wouldn't you love that? Merry Christmas. Thank you for Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we know Christmas is special because of Christ. Lord, we are nothing without him. We're just like the Bible says, we're filthy rags. But because of what Christ did for us on the cross, he gave us a purpose to live, to go on. He gave us a purpose to rely upon his sacrifice so that we might have life and have it throughout all eternity. Lord, for someone here today that's really hurting, they're going through some stuff, help them realize that Jesus Christ loves them. Lord, help them realize that he died just for them. And Lord, this Christmas as we celebrate, if people are feeling lonely today, all they have to do is reach out to the Savior, open up his word and read and pray, and they'll know without a doubt that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In his name we pray, amen.